Good evening. Welcome to the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm Barbara Jew, and I'm the moderator for this evening's program. I'm also a member of the International Relations Forum, the organization that is putting on the program tonight. And we are doing it in partnership with the Northern California Peace Corps Association. We wouldn't be able to have this program without that partnership with NorCal PCA. I'd like to welcome members of the Northern California Peace Corps Association here. I see a number of RPCVs, and it's wonderful to have you here. I'd also like to welcome any new Commonwealth Club members. If you're in the audience, welcome. And then finally, I'd like to also welcome the listening audience, because as is customary, the session is being recorded, and it will be available for podcast listeners. All right. To get with the core program, what is my involvement? I was in Moldova as a Peace Corps volunteer from 2013 to 2015. And in fact, I'm wearing a T-shirt. It's a Technovation Moldova T-shirt. When Technovation was introduced to Moldova in 2014, that was the first year that we had any participants from Moldova. And it was Peace Corps volunteers who actually got the program launched, worked tirelessly to recruit girls to participate in Technovation. And shockingly, the team from Moldova actually won the top prize. And it really did take us all by surprise, because this particular team was from a village, and I would say the girls never had any exposure to coding, programming, IT of any sort. Their English skills were barely at an intermediate level, particularly in speaking. They really hadn't spoken English much, although they had learned a bit. So it really was the joint efforts of multiple Peace Corps volunteers that got them to the point where they were able to win the competition. And their app, they developed a mobile app that reported on the quality of well water in their communities. And this was a big deal, because local people in those communities would often consume the water from the wells, and many of them got sick. So this mobile app would identify what pollutants and contaminants would be in that well water. And the government of Moldova was very interested in this app as well. So when they won the prize, they were able to actually develop that mobile app and be able to use it throughout the country. So it was a very significant accomplishment. And the girls themselves who participated were changed. Many of them got interested in pursuing IT studies. So it was very highly impactful to the communities there. I subsequently helped to promote the program the following year. I organized more of a network of local participants within the country, and was able to obtain local NGOs as partners, as well as gaining a critical sponsor, UN Women in Moldova. And getting those local people engaged in the process and taking some ownership of the program would further, you know, sustain the program within the country. And so it wouldn't be totally reliant on having Peace Corps volunteers implement it. And it is going strongly today, so we're feeling very good about that. So that was my involvement. And I want to introduce the main speakers from Technovation, who will get into more of the details about the program with you. And it's going to be very informal, so if you have questions, you know, we can, you know, ask them throughout. Madhavi Basin is the senior director of Technovation, and she's responsible for designing the strategy and guiding its implementation to community projects within developing countries. And she's worked in different areas related to initiatives on women's empowerment, youth development, and education. She comes from a research background, and she has a PhD in international relations. I think you should join our forum, Madhavi.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the introduction, Barbara. As Barbara mentioned, my name is Madhavi. I'm the senior director with Technovation, and I help lead and manage the program. Thank you for signing up and showing up today. I'm just going to talk a little bit about the program, the impact of it. And then, as Barbara mentioned, it's a very small group, so let's keep it open to questions. Feel free, if you have any questions in between, don't hesitate to interrupt. We'll just raise your hands. We'll have the microphone passed along for you to ask the questions. I want to start with a short clip, but before we get to that, let's do a quick show of hands. So how many people in the audience have ever thought of creating a mobile app to solve a problem in your community? Okay, great. How many people in the audience have ever mentored a girl to help her realize her hidden potential? Okay, we have the perfect audience. My last question, I promise. How many of us have, and I think this is more tech, like I think most of the people will have a show of hands for this. How many of us have girls in our family, daughters, or someone that we know in our community who think have come up with amazing out-of-box ideas that we were like, wow, I didn't even think of this? Have you ever encountered girls with those? Okay, perfect audience. This is the typical description of what you can imagine a Technovation participant is. So hold those thoughts and we'll walk you through that as we move forward. I just want to start with a short clip and then we can go into the details of the program and take questions as they happen.
So we should start with the problem.
In our school, we have 67 kids with hepatitis A because of the water.
18% of women engaged in self-harm and 6% of men said the same.
Drunk driving has plagued
real problems, such as women's safety, waste removal, and childhood obesity.
¿Qué problema resuelven?
We see a lot of problems in our town.
We don't have boxes for garbage.
Who knows better the problems in the community than the people?
A business and technology competition, you have the ability to practice your English, learn some new things.
My computer science teacher sent out this huge email to all the students about Technovation.
Welcome to the Technovation World Pitch Competition.
Well, you need to find the girls to do it. But most of the girls were like, no, computer science is for boys.
Only 7% of tech startups are led by women.
And now I feel like I look everywhere and I'm like, that's a problem. And then this app could solve it.
This is the next social media button.
We are sophomores and we're all 15 years old.
Join us to promote a cleaner, greener, and safer environment.
We want to make it perfect.
An actual problem and finding a way to solve it. Like, that is a really good feeling.
That's just a short clip, an overview of our program. We at Iridescent, that's our parent nonprofit, believe in promoting the values of curiosity, persistence, and perseverance among the youth. And one of our flagship programs is Technovation, and we're going to talk a little bit about how that program is managed. Before I go down to the program details, just to let everybody know, I have my three colleagues here in the audience. If you have questions after the program, they would love to answer that. Wallace is our Senior Director of Marketing. Katie is our Global Partnerships Manager. And we have Crystal here, who's our lead on our Great World Pitch event, about which we are going to talk momentarily. Technovation is a technology entrepreneurship program for young girls. Our target population is girls between the ages of 10 to 18. So that usually translates as middle school and high school in the U.S. These girls get together in teams and think of a problem in their community, whatever bothers them in their neighborhood, in their own community, in their own lives. And then they think about an app idea to solve that problem. Then they move on to creating that app, bringing it to life in the form of an actual app, a prototype, based on the MIT App Inventor platform, which is one of the simplest programming languages. So girls who don't have any background in CS can obviously join the program. And then they move to the next phase, which is very exciting, entrepreneurship. They take the plan to take, they take the idea of their app to market. So what would be the financial feasibility? How many people would download it? So this brings in the critical element of entrepreneurship to our program as well. So they are not just becoming technology experts, they're also getting training in becoming entrepreneurs. And the final piece is for them to develop their pitch and demo videos to promote what their app is and to walk through the technical pieces. So this is basically what the curriculum is, what the girls actually learn through the curriculum. But our program has a much wider objective. The idea here, the unique element for Technovation is just trying to create an app. You can obviously go to YouTube, find a lot of videos on how App Inventor works. That's not like crazy. These girls are super smart. They can figure that out. A lot of elements for Technovation that is unique is Technovation is not a simple programming or coding program. It addresses the root issue of coding for what. You're not just learning a programming language for learning programming. You're learning a programming language for a cause. That is very critical to keep the girls interested. You can get the girls to join a programming class, and then they might do programming, and then they're like, okay, I'm not sure, what do I do with this? But with Technovation, you see the impact that you can make if you do programming. If you're creating an app and it's going to market, your community is using it, you're making a real difference. So it's not only about getting the girls interested in technology, but also giving them something that keeps them engaged, that they look forward to. We really want to do this because we are making a difference. A lot of girls also are very active users of technology. Imagine a case of high school girls here in San Francisco. They have a lot of apps on their mobile phones. They use it freely. They can perhaps like teach all of us how to use it most effectively. So it's not that they are shy of technology. They might be scoring pretty well in their CS and math classes. So the students think that they don't have any issues with technology. They are pretty comfortable with it. The parents might also think the same. Now imagine this group of girls coming into Technovation and working on a problem in their community, creating an app idea. The transition that is happening here is from being mere users of technology, they are becoming creators of technology. And that is what the difference is. Now imagine the scenario in a global situation. One of the examples is what Barbara pointed out, the team in Moldova. They didn't have any CS education. They didn't know computers. A lot of our girls have never even seen a computer. We had teams in India where they actually landed up for the first Technovation session and struggled to find out the power button. So you can imagine from there, they're going through this process. So the point of this program is to make them interested at all levels. Girls who are comfortable with technology but don't see themselves as being engaged with it, the curriculum and the way the program is created helps them to get more interested. And if they have obviously never seen a computer or never interested in it, the program gets them to get interested. The other critical piece which distinguishes Technovation is All these girls work with mentors. So the girls form a team of 3 to 5, and we have a lot of volunteers, a lot of people who are from tech companies who are technically our partners. This year we have Google, Adobe, Salesforce, and tech companies across the globe partner with us. And they offer their staff as volunteers to mentor these girls, which has a huge impact on the girls, because it's not only these mentors are not only walking them through the curriculum, they are live role models for these girls. And our mentors can be both men and women. I usually get this question, like, you know, it's a girls program. Is mentoring only for girls? And obviously our answer is no. We encourage a lot of women to join us as mentors because the girls want to see those role models so that they can become one of them. But we also encourage a lot of men to become mentors because these girls are obviously going to go into the tech industry and work with men. They are not going to work in a vacuum. And it's also important that most of these hiring managers are going to be men. So for them to see a 10-year-old create an app is going to have a lasting impression on them. So we are trying to address not only creating this interest in STEM at the earlier level, but we are also trying to address the issue of diversity when the pipeline is leaking in the mid-level. A lot of our women mentors do come back and share the experience of how their involvement with Technovation made them more confident, made them more interested in what they were doing. Not only because the unique piece for Technovation is that you're not just as a mentor giving back to the community. It's not just a moral good feeling I'm helping these girls, but these mentors are developing a lot of professional skills themselves because our program has teamwork, problem solving. Imagine they have to work with a bunch of like middle school girls. How exciting that is to figure out like team conflict and management and figuring out roles for them. So they are developing those skills as well. And apart from that, a mentor could be, say, from the business area. Now, they are getting exposure to coding. They are going through that entire span of, like, from ideation to the launch of a product. So for themselves, it's like a learning journey and an opportunity. So it's not as simple, like, you know, we help the Technovation, like, we mentor them, we help them get through the finish line. But it's such a huge, impactful growth experience for these mentors, especially our women mentors, because they start feeling like, you know, there is much more that they can do. It's not just one of these roles. Like, you know, they're just not like a tech lead or someone who can just do one thing. And we have heard back a lot of women going back and sharing this with their community and their managers of like how much this experience has impacted them. So these are some of the unique elements of how the program operates. We started as a very small program here. We are at Google. It was a very small in-person program with 20 or 24 people, I believe. And this year, we have reached a milestone. We have just alone for the 2017 cycle, we have reached close to 12,000 girls in 103 countries. So that has been the reach thanks to a lot of volunteers on the ground, volunteers like Barbara. We are a small team based here in San Francisco, and our Iridescent family is spread across the U.S. So we have people from our parent nonprofit who are in different parts of the country. But the only way this program is made possible globally is through our volunteers. So we have volunteers who we call regional ambassadors. They are either at the local nonprofits, they are simply people who are passionate about this, they have a day job, but they still land up volunteering for Technovation, or they are Peace Corps volunteers. They are our real people, our army on the ground, who recruit the girls, recruit the mentors, put events together, keep them engaged, and then get them to the finish line. The finish line is kind of a little blurry for Technovation because we see this is a very unique mix of a competition and a program. So we realize we have to give the girls the experience, but these are young girls. Like, we are competing with like a lot of interest of like they're going to volleyball classes or soccer. So how do we make it more interesting? So the idea is that we built in the idea of making it a competition as well. So what happens is, imagine all these 12,000 girls this year creating apps and teams. We have close to about 3,000 teams this year. All of them are going to work through this curriculum, create their app idea, create their business plan, come up with their pitch video, and submit it on the Technovation platform. And they will go through two rounds of judging. So we have volunteer judges. We have a judging rubric where they judge them and provide them feedback. We emphasize a lot on the fact, and we have a special judge training for this as well. We just don't want judges to leave numerical scores for girls. We need numerical scores because it's part of a competition, but we very strongly emphasize and tell our judges to leave a lot of feedback for the girls of how can you improve the app? Where was your app missing? Because we want to give the girls the experience of like, this is a learning journey and opportunity for you. So after two rounds of judging, we'll have 12 top teams from across the globe. So 6 in the junior division, 6 in the senior division, that corresponds to middle school and high school, who will then travel to San Francisco for the World Pitch Summit. So this is a one-week grand finale event for us where we get the girls here, we take them around field trips to different tech companies. They are really very excited. They love to go to Facebook and Twitter and see, like, really, these were the apps that we were working on. And they get to meet the women there who are technology and engineering, like, leads there. And for them, that becomes alive. Like, I can be one of them. So we want to give them that experience that this is not just like it's beyond the curriculum. We want to give them that real life experience as well. And then when they are here, we have two special events, among others. One is what we call the World Pitch Night, where these 12 teams get up on stage and live pitch their app idea. So they will get 4 minutes to pitch their app idea. Amazing practice in public speaking. They are much less nervous than I am today. Sometimes I'm super amazed of how confident they can be. I still remember last year we had a team from Brazil, much like Moldova. They did not speak English. So throughout, like every time I had to like Google Translate what they are saying and like trying to understand. Oh my God, when they got up on stage, I bet nobody could tell that they couldn't speak English. They had their pitch down to every word with the emotion that goes with the word, which is beyond amazing. So we can imagine the amount of work these girls put into this and how seriously they take it. We have had instances where we have our program technically is for 10 to 18. We get a lot of requests. I'm 8 years old. Can I join? Obviously, we can't have a lower limit. They do join. And when you see them on stage, I'm like, oh my God. Like if they are speaking next to me, I would just be not sure of what I'm saying. They are so confident. Once they get done with the pitch night, we have live judging there. We have our judges, 5 judges who score them, give them feedback. We don't tell them the scores that day. The next day, we have our grand celebration, which is the award ceremony. This is a celebration for the entire community. It's to just reward not only these 12 teams who will come to San Francisco, but it's an opportunity to reward all our volunteers across the globe, all 12,000 girls who have even participated in this. So this year we are looking, and Crystal is especially trying to emphasize on that, if we can do like a Facebook Live event, get our global audience involved. And the award ceremony is then going to pick up the top winners. This year we have made a special addition to the Technovation program. We launched our program with Google's Made with Code and UN Women. And inspired by the conversations that were going on, we decided that the girls will still be allowed to solve problems in their community, but they had to pick from 6 themes of the Sustainable Development Goals. So the idea was that you are still looking at local problems, but the solutions that you are creating are going to be applicable across the globe. So we wanted to give them that horizon and that vision that your solutions are not just for your little community or village that you're living in, but it tags to the sustainable development goals and you're making an impact beyond your immediate neighborhood. So this year we have 6 tracks in the middle school, 6 tracks in the high school. We have poverty, education, environment, peace, and health. And we'll award, so the top winning pitch from each of the divisions get the top award, but we also have awards for the best app in each of these tracks. So the idea is we are trying to widen. Earlier, we just had 1 winning team for each division, but this year, our plan is to widen the pool, the prize pool, so that more girls get excited. So that's so much about the Technovation journey for the girls. I talked a little bit about what it means to mentor these girls and the mentoring experience and how beneficial it is for the mentors. We have 2 other very critical components without which Technovation would not be possible. One I did briefly touch upon is our regional ambassadors and our partner organizations on the ground. So these are the people who actually go to schools, recruit the girls, put them in teams, recruit the mentors. They do a lot of local fundraising as well because they need some money. The program is technically free. Girls don't need to pay any registration fees. It's completely free. The curriculum is open. Once they sign up, they can access the curriculum. But we still need the local teams still need the funds to put the events together, to get the girls together. Sometimes the girls have don't have internet where they stay, so the regional ambassadors try to get them to a particular location. They bus them there. So a lot of challenges on the ground that our ambassadors and local partners address. They also build in a lot of components, unique components, different to every culture, every community, where they try to take this beyond just being a curriculum, because that is what we would love to emphasize. In Tunisia, they organize something called pizza and code parties, where they would bring all these girls together. They're like, you need extra support. If like 10 teams work together, you feel more motivated and more supported. They just started doing that. A lot of our regional ambassadors also organized field trips to local tech companies. For many of these girls, they have not been in a tech office. Like just being there, like they're like, I want to come and work here. That by itself is like a huge inspiration for them to like continue their learning journeys. And our regional ambassadors also put together a lot of regional pitch events. So much along the lines of the World Pitch Event that we have here in San Francisco, we have mini versions, which we call the regional pitch events, where local teams, again, come together. Like, say, for example, we also have it in San Francisco. So we have a San Francisco regional pitch event where local teams come together. They get up on stage, pitch their app idea. We have judges. And then they get that experience of public speaking on a smaller platform. And then they can move on to the world pitch. And winners from these events obviously make it to the next round. So, sorry, go ahead. Do they get funding for the regional pitch events?
Yeah. They're pitching. So hopefully there are people there who are wishing to invest. So I'm wondering what happens after that.
Yeah. So
I mean, that sounds like something I'd like to go to see what the pitches are.
Definitely. So we do bring in a lot. So a couple of things that happens is I have not heard, to be honest, any instance of like where they had got funding right at the pitch event. But there have been several cases where regional pitch winners have tied up with local governments and corporations and tech companies who have actually supported their app idea. So it does happen after the program. It just doesn't, I have not seen, like come across an instance where it happens exactly at the pitch night. I know, it sounds very obvious. Last year, I know we had a regional, a team here in San Francisco who created an app idea, and then there was someone from the audience who worked at a startup with the same idea. So they actually invited them over and like, you know, had an interview with them, like what your app is. And they were like, your app is exactly similar to what we have. The only difference is you have an additional feature and we want to add that to our app. So you do see those things happening. In 2015, we had our middle school winners from India. They had created an app on managing dry waste, collecting dry waste. And that was promoted by the Prime Minister of India. He was running a campaign of Clean India. They went and met the Prime Minister. He supported them in like, you know, taking their app further. NASDAQ is, it's more like, you know, a group of tech companies in India, and they run a lot of tech startups. So NASDAQ actually donated office space to those five girls. So they now officially have a startup at NASDAQ, and they like, you know, it's based on your the NASDAQ here, but they just call it that group together is called NASDAQ. So they put it, it's more like a co-working startup space for new entrepreneurs, but they don't bring in you need to be really vetted very well to be able to make there. But these girls, obviously, with the impression that they made, did move forward. The Moldova girls did get a lot of support from their local government to take their app further. So a lot of apps do have success stories moving forward, but it's always in different formats. Sometimes they get funding. Sometimes they get mentorship support. Sometimes they get the most common one that we have seen is a lot of support from local governments. That's how it usually picks up in terms of local government becoming very passionate about, like, whether it's the city council or the state government becoming very passionate about the app idea and supporting it further. So coming back to the point of this sounds like a lot of work on the ground, and it's our regional ambassadors who make it possible, who bring this to life. So they are technically our program managers on the ground. We work very closely with them. Katie's actually, she needs our global partnership. So it's like helping them if they have issues, helping them with fundraising, and helping them to secure local funders and put these events together. But we are really thankful to our base of volunteers on the ground who make this program possible. We just, like, I think, come up a lot of with, like, program and strategy, but they are the real ones who translate this vision into reality on the ground. The other, I mentioned that we have two important stakeholders. The last one that I want to mention is parents. It would not be possible for us to run this program without the involvement of parents. As I said, we are in 103 countries, and in each year we get launched in a new country. And you can imagine, I can understand, like, if I had a teenage daughter and who wanted to sign up for Technovation, and it's a program that I've never heard about, I would have a lot of doubts and concerns of, like, you know, she's spending 3 months. It's basically a 3 to 5 month curriculum. It's a lot of time commitment. Parents drive their daughters around to these field trips, take them to, like, Technovation sessions every weekend. So they put that faith in the program. For us, that is very critical for us to see that involvement from the parents. And I don't think that it would have been possible for us to implement the program and scale in so many countries if we didn't have that level of parent involvement. Starting this year, we have tried to use a lot of other features to keep the parents involved and engaged and tell them how the girls are progressing. And we hope to build that out. We are... That is one place that I think we are lacking, which we need to focus a little bit more on: parent involvement, getting them more interested, giving them more regular updates about what their daughters are doing. So that is one piece that Technovation looks at building out a little more, is keeping the parents more involved, especially because for a lot of parents, English is not their first language. So even when they're signing up the consent forms, they're like, okay, we're not sure what, and this involves a lot of, like, convincing on part of our, like, regional ambassadors and volunteers. We are trying to make our website, we already have a curriculum, we are translating that to be available to girls in multiple languages, but we are hoping down the road we can make our website, a parent consent form, parent information flyers, more friendly with, like, the language, so that we can reach more parents. Two more important things about the program is our reach. For us, it is very important. We have grown a lot over the past 5 years, but what is important to us is also the impact that we make on the ground. So we want to focus on obviously reaching more girls, especially in the underserved community. So we try to target a lot of underserved communities, try to reach to girls. We have a program in Dharavi, which is in Mumbai, India, which is the largest slum in Asia. We have our program running there. We have our coordinators who work with girls there, help them create, and they have created amazing app ideas. If you go on our YouTube video, you can actually see videos of those girls. And so the idea is that it's not only girls who have access to technology or education already, but we try to reach out to girls from other areas as well. This year, we in partnership with one of our partners in Afghanistan, we are offering the program to girls who are in some form of adult education. You can imagine they never went to school under the Taliban era, so they are more like the informal education sector. But they are still, you know, like, working on Technovation and creating apps. So our idea is also to reach the girls who are more underserved, who are high need, who we can get interested in the program. So for us, that piece of our reach is very critical. But the other most important piece for our reach is deepening our impact. Our idea is once the girls come into Technovation, they are part of this community. We don't want to give them the experience like, this is a 3-month, 5-month program. You got done with it. You got your certification and, like, you know, participation, and it's all fine. Like, you know, now you can go on and do another course. We keep them as part of our community, both our students and our mentors. And starting from last year, and Crystal has been leading some of this, we have a very strong alumni engagement program. We want to bring these girls, keep them connected, created a LinkedIn group for them, As I mentioned, we have a lot of technology companies as our partners. So we work with them to see if these girls, a lot of them are obviously like getting done with their college, if we can get them internships or get them somehow in the door, because we have so many of these partnerships and this is an amazing pool of girls. We were at a certain point thinking of an idea of creating like an app gallery, a Kickstarter style app gallery for these girls. But that didn't kick off completely. But this year, once the girls submit their apps on the platform, there is a functionality on our submission platform where they can share their app either on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter. So that is going to give them that visibility, which actually is taking it beyond just like a coding or programming language, because we want to make them feel supported as part of that community. And a lot of these mentors who work with them, as we all know, if we all have mentored someone in our lives, it's not just like a program-related commitment. These mentors are their mentors for life, help them go through a lot of challenges. I've seen so many mentors creating those bonding relationships with these girls. So that is very important to keep that sense of community alive and thriving and not just make it like a seasonal program. And finally, I would want to end on the note, which is for us, it has been a learning journey. We have tried to create updates to our program each year. We ask the girls and the mentors to do a pre and post program survey to capture their learning journeys. But for us, the most rewarding experience is to see the app ideas that these girls create. It is like really amazing, not only like the solutions that they come up with, but for some of them, the problems are like so unique. I just want to end on a couple of examples that I've seen from our recent submissions. There was an app, which is a genuine problem, which never occurred to me. There was a team of girls who created an app idea of parents getting all the information of when their kids are going to summer camp or a field trip. So parents need to sign a lot of consent forms. A lot of it happens through paper or through email. So they just created an app where the parents would put in information, put in their consent forms, get tracking of where the girls are going. To them, that was a problem that they faced. So it's not something that's artificial and top-down. It's a genuine problem that they are facing. We might not think that it's marketable or scalable, but the point is that they are addressing problems. So we are empowering them to become innovators and create their own solutions rather than wait for apps coming on Google and App Store and like then downloading it from there. If they have a problem, they can go ahead and create a solution. We had another team which was a participant at the 2015 World Pitch, I believe. They created an app called Praise Pop. It was an app where colleagues at school, at high school and middle school, would praise each other because there was a lot of bullying. So you can anonymously go in and praise your teammate, your classmate at school, at soccer. Just give a show of hands. It might not appear as a genuine problem for many people who are in different part of the community, but that was their problem. Rather than sitting and saying, like, you know, this is a problem for us, they went ahead and created a solution for it. A team in India created an app about women's safety. They didn't have a live app in India. We have a lot of live apps here in the US for that, but they didn't have a live app in India where if they are traveling alone, they could track their locations. So their parents could actually track their locations. They could send an alarm and someone would come to help them. So this is more a problem that they are actually facing in their own community. I don't want to go through the whole list, but we have tons of apps which is like on environment, saving water, trying to address the issues in the local community of like garbage and trash collection. There was a very unique app which made it to the world finalist. It's if you're waiting at the Mayo Clinic and the wait line is very long, what should you do? So they actually created an app around Mayo Clinic where they mapped out anything that you can do in the neighborhoods while you're waiting for 2 hours. So it's just like something that even to me, it looks like doesn't even occur to us. And like I look at their thought idea and like they are sitting down waiting for this and they're like, oh, I can create an app for this. So for them, it's that simple. Like in the video, if you notice, one of the girls was like, now I look around everything and I'm like, oh, this is a problem. I can create an app for this. This is another problem. So the idea is just making it very intuitive for them to see themselves as problem solvers and innovators rather than like become a programmer or become an entrepreneur. Our curriculum supports that, but the bottom line is we want them to believe in themselves that they can create solutions rather than just like be users of technology. I'm going to pause there. Questions, and then I can add more. But if you raise your hand, Karen can get the mic to you.
1 second, please. Here. Here. 1 second. I have to do a commercial break because we are being recorded, and I want to remind the listening audience that this is the Commonwealth Club of California, and our program tonight is From Moldova to Mountain View, Creating Innovative Solutions for Real-Life Problems, featuring our speaker, Madhavi Basin from Technovation.
Thanks, Barbara.
Well, I have a question right off the top. I'm not a geek or anything. So do these people, you're talking about basic problems that need to be solved, how to clean your water and how to dispose of garbage and do these things. So are these all people that go to school and learn about this in school, or are some of the mentors going to girls clubs for children or young people who cannot afford to go to school in some of these countries? And how, like in Afghanistan, are the men feeling about the girls learning and being educated in this way?
Great question. So it works. Our program also successful for one of the reasons is it's a very flexible model. So there are features where girls actually, mentors come to schools and the schools have sessions there. There is another model where girls actually show up at a tech company. So if we are partnering with a tech company that has an office in that particular city, girls would actually show up at that tech company and the mentors would hold their sessions there. But there is also the third model where we have a lot of partners, local nonprofits who are working already with women and with young girls. And they have their own mechanisms of they either have a classroom style education or say, for example, for the Dharavi slums in Mumbai, the mentor, we have a lead coordinator, a regional ambassador, but the mentor actually goes to the slums. So they actually hold the sessions there. So it's kind of very flexible of where, it's not the girls always come to the mentor, the mentor goes to the girls. We completely leave it up to the team depending on what works for the mentor, what works for the girls. But the different models that we have seen is either at a tech company or a school or at the location where the girls are. For your question related to how men are feeling in Afghanistan about it, we have this is our third year of operation in Afghanistan, and the program has been growing steadily. So it's not that it has not seen an exponential growth, but it has grown this year. We think we have found a partner on the ground who's really very committed, so we hope that a lot of girls complete it. I would say there is some adaptations that happen because some of the questions that we get asked is, is it okay if we get only women mentors? Because it's going to be culturally very difficult to get approval from parents to let these girls work with men. And we completely respect that. So it's not there is no rigid rule to it. If that is what the cultural sensitivity is, we always love to honor that. So we make it pretty flexible depending on what works for a particular region or a nation.
Hi, I have two questions, actually. One is, how do you connect to an ambassador in another country if you want to support a program in another country? I know a lot of Peace Corps people would probably be interested in that. And the second question is, can you be a mentor even if you're not an engineer or a coder?
Okay, I love your second question. I always get it. I was waiting for that. But I want to start with your first question. So if you go on our website, there's a chapters page on our website. And if you click that, you will get a list of our regional ambassadors. And their emails are on there. So you can go ahead and connect with them. You can get all the program, local program information. We also have an events section, which we will be updating shortly because we have regional pitch events coming up. So on our website, you can look at that event section and you will actually see which city is hosting which regional pitch event or a field trip or anything that's happening in that city. That information, both of the ambassador and the event, is up on our website. To answer your second question, very interesting. I get this question every time. I'm going with my standard response. I think this has been recorded more than 10 times now. One, as I said, our age group is from 10 to 18. We got a query from our regional ambassador in Australia saying that she has an 8-year-old girl who wants to participate in the program. And I was like, fine, she wants to compete with girls elder to her, that's fine. Like, I can stop doing that. She was one-person team. She had a mentor. She went ahead, completed the program. She won the national pitch in Australia. Oh. And she was 8 years old. And to me, I was like, you know, when I get this question, I'm like, if an eight-year-old can go through the curriculum and figure out how to run App Inventor and create an entrepreneurship plan and win a regional pitch event, I'm sure all of us can also. It's going to be a learning curve, but all of us are capable of doing that. The idea is here, the mentors get their own curriculum support. So when you sign up as a mentor, you are signing up for a mentor training as well. That mentor training includes curriculum training and a professional development training for the mentors. So you will be, you will get a lot of support in walking the girls through the curriculum. The key piece that we are looking for is not the technical skill or the entrepreneurship skill. It is the idea to make these girls believe that they can do it. There are going to be, at every step of the curriculum, one piece that the curriculum, a written curriculum, can't address is instilling that level of confidence in them. At every unit of the curriculum, the mentors face this question of girls like, I'm done, I can't, like, I'm just at unit two, there are 12 units, how will we ever get through this? That is where we need the mentors. We need mentors more as coaches and people who can support these girls, help them believe in themselves, which doesn't go to say that it's not going to be a learning curve. And that's where I say that it's a professional development opportunity for the mentors as well. The mentors, we have a dedicated person who supports the mentors. We have a mentor Slack channel, so you would meet mentors from across the globe. You can ask questions to them. They can feel like support you if you get stuck on a technical issue. We have someone on our curriculum team on staff. So if there are curriculum issues that mentors come up with, they reach out to us and then we connect them with the concerned person. So we try to build in a lot of, we know it's a heavy lift, so we try to build in a lot of support for the mentors. But one piece that we think mentors bring to the table, which is very, very critical, is giving that sense of confidence to the girls. So even if you don't have a technical skill set, you can join in. One other way in which people try to balance that off is, and also because of the time commitment, people try to co-mentor a lot as well. So a lot of teams, a team can have multiple mentors. So a lot of mentors try to co-mentor. So if you have skill set in one area and you have only like X number of hours and you're still passionate about it, you can like find a co-mentor either on the platform, in your own community, so that you feel a little supported in balancing the skill set and also your time commitment to it. So that's also a possibility. You can have up to any number of mentors on a team, like 2, 4, 5, depending on how you want to work on that. So those are some of the flexibility points that help our, the way we want to support our mentors, because we know they are putting in a lot of time, effort, and energy into this as well. Any other questions?
First off, thank you. As an educator and somebody who's done similar, I love seeing this, and the success you've mentioned is astounding. Like, that's a lot of countries and a lot of people. You seem to be focused on competition as the motivator, and I'm wondering about, you know, you talk about all the people who won. What happens to the women who lose, and what are the support mechanisms there to make sure that you didn't just turn them off from technology forever?
Definitely. That's a great question. So technically, and that is why we have this in layers or levels, I would say. As I mentioned, we have regional pitch events. So only 12 teams out of these 3,000 are obviously going to make it to the finals here in San Francisco. One of the couple of mechanics, and this is something that we have been struggling with and trying to address, like, how do we support the entire population who signs up for the program? A couple of things that we are doing this year, and we are trying to build, it's not that we have perfected and got a solution to it, but we are still working on it. One is having more regional pitch events so we can have regional winners. So those winners get a lot of visibility as well. They go to tech companies. They get, as I said, like some of these examples that I mentioned to the teams that made it, like, you know, to the next round or got funding or got support were essentially not world pitch winners. They were local winners in the local communities. And some of them are even not like local winners. They just participated and completed the program. And the other pieces, as I said, for our partnership with technology companies, we created a LinkedIn group. Anybody who's interested, can we figure that out, work with our technology companies, help source the resumes to them, and we don't factor in whether that person was on a winning team or not. So those are pieces that we are trying to build in. And this year also, we tried to give them additional support, like because of financial purposes, we can only get like 12 teams here to San Francisco, one winner each in each track. But this year we built in the feature of having runner-up in each track. So the runners-up don't get to come to San Francisco in each track, but they are going to get like cash prizes so that they can pursue like perhaps go to a tech conference or take a tech course or like pay for internet at home. So these are different things we are trying to diversify the pools so that we can support them a little more. And the final thing is we depend a lot on our mentor community to keep that in mind. We have built a mentor training where we try to remind them that please be sure. And we face this a lot. A lot of girls come back like, I'm heartbroken, I didn't make it. So we do get, and that's why we have our, most of our marketing language is now around more like creating that sense of community. And we have a special unit for our mentors where we tell them like from the start to the finish, emphasize on the learning gains that the girls are making. Emphasize that, you know, this is a learning journey. Tell them that you're learning this and you're learning this rather than just like, let's go to World Pitch. Like, don't make that like the focal point for the girls. These girls will look at it that way because they are young, but you as mentors would support them in trying to understand the value is more in this learning journey and keep them more engaged so that it's not like at the end of the competition when the results are declared, they are like, oh, this was like waste of time. We just want the mentors also. And we try to do that a lot. We have weekly, not weekly now, like in 3 weeks, we send newsletters to all students. So we try to work around the language of like, you know, this in the past 3 weeks, you have learned coding. In the past 3 weeks, you have created a business plan. So they have a sense of achievement at every leg of it rather than when they submit and when they get the results. So we want to make it more inclusive learning journey process. But that doesn't mean to say that we have addressed this problem completely. It's also a question of motivation. We are still working on finding more creative ways so that we can make these girls feel supported. But that's on our radar. We're still working on it.
Yeah, I think it's great that you're focusing on the community longer term, and I wanted to follow up on that too. You said you're trying to, one of the things you're doing is trying to help them get their resumes to the companies and get internships and that sort of thing. Have you started actually tracking how many of them actually end up working as programmers? Or is that even one of your goals? I don't know.
Yeah, I think Crystal, yeah, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Do you have a follow-up to that?
My other question was, what's your U.S. presence? But that's a different one.
Yeah, sure. Crystal, do you want to answer the first one? She's leading the...
Yeah. So I'll address the first question. That's actually one of the things that I'm focusing on right now is reaching out to our alumni and re-engaging them and just gathering their stories and kind of tracking their trajectory. And really the stories are the big part for me is getting... where the challenges have been, where the successes have been, and getting that out to the public so that they can get support for their projects. LinkedIn has been really helpful for our earlier alumni, so the participants in 2010, 2011, 2012 who are now undergraduates or just getting out of college who have those internships and now have positions at different technology companies.
The success, can you repeat sort that? You might put it in terms of metrics. What are the success metrics for the program overall?
Can you repeat the question? I didn't get the last part of it.
Success. What are the success metrics for the program and how are you doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. A couple of things for our alumni program. We realized that gap 2 years back, so we've started building on that. So that's not like, you know, something that's still a work in progress for us because we realized that that was one element that was missing. If you go on our website, we have an impacts page. We do a pre and post program survey. But usually for most of these, to be honest, once the girls finish the program, they're always on a high and they're like, yeah, I want to do CS. But like 4 months down the line, obviously they get busy. So we also went ahead and did a 5-year look back survey for the girls just to see what the impact is. And we did see a lot of interest in girls like trying to take CS, wanting to take like CS courses. And we have our impact report up on the website with like the exact numbers. But we do try to track the learning gains over a period of time. The post program surveys usually end on a high, so the girls are excited. But we do try to capture this metric, numerical data, apart from qualitative of like it's made a huge impact on me. We do capture this numerical data. We have done a 5-year look back survey, which shows us like there has been a huge impact, and that survey has also brought to us a lot of things that in light of that, which we have tweaked and improved the program upon. So that has been a good learning opportunity for us as well. As for your next question about our presence in U.S., we are in 30 states, approximately 30 states of in the United States. We have a huge presence here in the Bay Area. Other big areas, and Katie, you can add to the list perhaps, is Minnesota. Boston is one of our big areas. This year we have expanded to several new states in the U.S., but U.S., North America also, huge presence in Canada. We are growing gradually, organically. The idea also is to get, we don't want to grow at a scale where we can't sustain the quality of it. So that also gets factored in. But as of now, we are close to, I think it's 27 or 30 states where we do have a presence in the U.S. Any other questions?
I'd like to just ask another question about the assistance you're getting from Google and Microsoft and all those. What are they providing? How are they getting into the other countries? Is it through you? I mean, you've really expanded to a number of countries. Is it to sell their products, or are they making them more aware? Because a lot of poor countries can't afford computers. So I would hope that these tech companies are donating equipment as well as mentors. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so we don't have any direct donation of equipment. The only recent one has been we have received a grant from Google to have a few laptops donated to girls in the underserved communities in India. But the way we work with our partners is they provide direct funding to us, which helps us support the regional ambassadors and the operations on the ground. So apart from regional ambassadors, we have Technovation alumni mentors who have joined us as master educators. We have girls who have gone through the program who have joined us as student ambassadors. So they have created clubs. And a lot of these companies provide us funding that go to support the local program operations. We don't have direct equipment cost. We usually encourage the teams and the girls to use either a public library or a facility to access computers. The reason behind that also is we don't want to invest so much money into hardware. We want to invest more on like the program pieces that can keep the program more sustainable and growing, because like if the girls use the computer, like we know, like every 2 years, 1.5 years, there is so much wear and tear. So we try to promote, like get technology companies if they can donate something. I know we got a grant from Cisco a few years back where they provided their refurbished laptops to the local girls. So that does happen off and on, but we try to, the funding that we receive from these tech companies is a lot to support the program costs. Like we would perhaps provide funding to the girls to bus from where they stay to a public library rather than actually buying them laptops, because that to them, that to us is also, you know, they're getting out of their communities, they're getting a wider exposure. We just try to avoid to minimal of investing in hardware.
Okay. We're at the stage in the program where we may have one more question, if anybody has a question.
Go ahead.
I have way too many for one, but I'll end with this. One of the problems with these kind of programs is that the ideas get picked up, as you talked about, by other ones. Do you do any support for ownership of the IP or following up and making sure that they don't get railroaded by a large company that steals the idea from them and they don't see any money?
Yeah, so the other way we get asked this question a lot from the parents is like, who owns the app after the girls have created it? So our consent form clearly specifies that the girls have full ownership over the app. Like Technovation has no right. Like we don't own the app. It's the girls and the teams who own the app. And last year we were exploring of doing this, but we were not able to do it. But we were trying to do something like, surprisingly, a lot of our girls, and I know one of them is here in the Bay Area, who has filed a patent for their app. So they know that. I'm like, I would not figure out at middle school what a patent is, but they somehow figure out and file for it as well. So we were also looking at providing that kind of additional follow-up support. But the one problem that we run into it is because it's like we are in so many countries, so we have to figure out what the legal issues are. But it's in our plan. The girls anyways own the app, but it's in our plan to give them more localized support of how can you protect like your app idea rather than like someone just like taking it up. And that has been also one of the reasons why we have like one of the challenges that we faced when we were thinking of creating that Kickstarter style app gallery, because we weren't sure like someone could like a smart techie could look at one of those app ideas and just like take it to market sooner than the girls would. So we were thinking of like perhaps making it a locked invite only access. So we are aware that that is a problem, and we are trying to build in pieces so that we see that the ideas and whatever the girls are creating is more protected.
Okay, that concludes our program. Thank you so much, Madhavi, for this wonderful presentation. It's very insightful. I also want to thank our audience here, as well as those listening to the recording. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, commemorating its 114th year of enlightened discussion, is adjourned.